grab your coffee and get ready to chat about one of the most fascinating people in Hollywood. You may know him from films like The Truman Show, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Dumb and Dumber, Liar Liar, The Mask, or one of his other 65 credits. But there is so much more to Jim Carrey than his brilliance on screen. So let's take to the notes to talk about his life, his career, and fun facts about him. Jim Carrey's real name is James Eugene Carrey, and he was born January 17, 1962, which makes him 59 years old this year. He's one of four children to his mother, Kathleen, who was a homemaker, and his father, Percy, who was a musician and an accountant. A fun fact about Jim Carrey is that entertainment kind of runs in his blood. He is third cousins with the late, great Alex Trebek. One of the reasons that Jim is so memorable is because he's a little bit odd, but in the best way. And this makes total sense because he has had years of practice being odd. It's said that when he was younger, he used to make faces at himself in the mirror and do impressions of literally anyone or anything around him. Unlike many other actors or comedians who have a pretty average life and then get their big break, things weren't so easy for Jim. His childhood was full of ups and downs, and there were even periods of homelessness during his teenage years. After his father was laid off from his job, his family was forced to live out of their Volkswagen van and even in tents for some time in the park in Canada. They did this for quite a few months until Jim and his brother John got jobs as janitors and security guards at their local tire factory. And in exchange for their work, Jim's family was able to live in the house across the street. Jim and his brother worked the night shift, and this allowed him to work on comedy during the day. Jim Carrey got his first comedian gig when he was 15 years old and had his father drive him to the location. He wore a linen suit because that's what his mom recommended, and unfortunately, his good looks did not gain him applause from the audience. And unfortunately, because of his family's financial situation, they weren't able to continue to support his dreams and goals, so he did so himself. He actually dropped out of school when he was 16 years old to pursue comedy full-time. And this is kind of wild because he was a great student. It's said that he had straight A's. In an interview he did with Hamilton Spector, he said, if it hadn't worked out, him becoming a comedian, he would still be working at a steel mill in Canada, most likely. In 1979, he booked his first paid gig as a comedian, even though the pay was only $20. And this inspired him to audition for SNL for the class of 1980. He was rejected from this. The irony is that about 15 years later, he would take the SNL stage as the host. So after this, he did small comedy sets and voiceover jobs for his local TV station until he got what he thought was his big break in 1981. He got booked as the opener for a rock band called Gatto at the Roxy for two nights. He showed up the first night to open, was booed off of stage, and refused to return for the second night. Right around that same time, his impressions of Sammy Davis Jr. got picked up by the Toronto Star and placed on the front page. And this got many people's attention. It actually gained him his first made-for-TV movie role in a film called Rubberface. Actually, the film was first called Introducing Janet, but they changed it to Rubberface to reflect Jim Carrey's facial expressions. It was a total hit on the CBC, and it actually got him noticed by Rodney Dangerfield, who was a big comedian at the time. And Rodney allowed Jim to come open for him during his performances. After he gained a little bit of notoriety from this, he returned home and performed two sold-out shows in his hometown, which is kind of a sweet full-circle moment. Then in 1983, he moved to Los Angeles officially and began doing things at places like the Comedy Store, which is actually right down the street from me, so kind of a fangirl moment there. And at this point, his biggest goal was to be booked on The Tonight Show, and that's because The Tonight Show was a very pivotal point in your career as a comedian. It could make or break you in one set on the show. So he was actually booked on the show, and then he was unbooked. They retracted their offer because a few nights prior, he did a set and didn't do well at all. They didn't want to be known for having him on the show, so they took away the offer. He booked the NBC sitcom Duck Factory, which got him booked back on The Tonight Show. And during his set, he did a set of impressions, which didn't really get the stamp of approval from Jimmy Carson. While it might seem like his comedy career wasn't taking off, his acting career definitely was. I do just want to note that it's great he didn't let this get him down, because he would go on to be featured on the last episode of The Late Show. And in the next few years, he would continue to audition for SNL, being rejected a total of 3 times before finally saying, maybe this isn't for me. And right around the time of his 3rd rejection, 2 big things happened. First, he booked a TV sitcom called In Living Color, which was a massive success. And second, he filmed Ace Ventura Pet Detective. That film was a total hit. It grossed $79 million and would kick off the next 4 years of his professional life. In the following years, he starred in many films and made a ton of money. Here's a list of his credits from 1994 to 1998 and what these credits earned him. The Mask, which earned him his first Golden Globe. Ace Ventura 2, which paid him $5 million. The Mask 2, which paid him $7 million. Dumb and Dumber, which got him another $7 million. And The Cable Guy, which made him $20 million, making him the first actor ever to be paid that much for one single film. It was also directed by Ben Stiller, which I just think is a funny note. In that 4-year span, he also took part in Liar Liar, which would earn him his 2nd Golden Globe in just a short period of time. At this point, his comedy career was soaring, and he didn't need the money anymore, or the notoriety. Because of this, he took on projects that kind of would expand his acting a little bit more, so he would have a wider range, even if it was for less money. And that was really his focus from 1998 to 2007, where he booked more serious yet still critically acclaimed roles like The Truman Show, which earned him another Oscar, Man on the Moon, which earned him the Screen Actor Guild Award for Best Actor, Me, Myself, and Irene, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is the 2nd highest grossing Christmas film to date, and got him another Golden Globe nomination. Bruce Almighty, which became the 17th highest grossing live action comedy of all time, bringing in $474 million. He also shot Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which earned him another nomination for Best Actor, and he said that this was the closest role to him in real life. He did Series of Unfortunate Events and Fun with Dick and Jane. After this amazing whirlwind of success, both as a comedian and an actor, he did not slow down at all. During this time, he continued to expand his acting palette, reaching to things like animation, hosting, psychological thrillers such as The Number 23, Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who, Yes Man, I Love You, Philip Morris, A Christmas Carol, where he played his 2nd Christmas villain, Mr. Popper's Penguins, Kick-Ass 2, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, and Dumb and Dumber 2. And while he was now trying his hand at animation and voiceover, what's interesting is some of his previous roles like The Mask, Ace Ventura, and Dumb and Dumber all went on to become cartoons of their own. And he could tell his acting career and the money wasn't going anywhere, so he ventured out even further. He wrote a children's book, tried music videos, and even tried his hand at executive producing. He was also put on the Canadian stamp for some time, which I think is amazing, and take that, Justin Bieber. One of the things that Jim Carrey is super open about is that he uses creativity as a form of escapism, which I think a lot of celebrities do. He's just very vocal about it. He says that it allows him to go into an alternate world and he can be whoever he wants to be. He discusses the topic of mental health and has never been shy about the fact that he struggles with depression. Because of his depression, he was prescribed Prozac, which is a very common antidepressant. He says he hated the way it made him feel. So because of this, he stopped taking stimulants altogether, including coffee, which I cannot imagine. And even through all of this, he's received a ton of awards for his work. As of 2017, he was the only actor ever to win a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Drama, Comedy, and Musical without being nominated for an Academy Award. It goes without saying that he's won a ton of his awards due to his pure talent, but though he wasn't set up for success in the beginning, he definitely was partway through his career. He worked with iconic co-stars like Jen Aniston, worked with iconic directors as well, 5 of which had been given Oscars for directing. But to me, the most interesting thing surrounding Jim Carrey is the documentaries that were made about him. The first is called I Need Color, and it walks viewers through his artistic side. You can watch this on YouTube, and I really, really recommend it. It's amazing. Not only does it let you into his mind and how he kind of thinks, but it also shows you his artwork. And let me just tell you, he could single-handedly be just a painter and be successful at that. The other documentary is called Jim and Andy, The Great Beyond. And this kind of shows you how he gets into character when he's filming, what he's like on set, and how that's caused problems for him in the past. You can find that on Netflix. Again, it is a must watch. And since then, he has filmed Sonic the Hedgehog, been President Joe Biden on SNL, and published a series of political papers as well. Now, we know he has an amazing career. We know how he got there. But what about his personal life during his career? Well, he has one child with ex-wife who's a singer, Linda Ronstadt. Actually, his daughter is a singer as well. She auditioned for American Idol. And though she didn't win, she did have a great voice. After his marriage, he was wed and engaged a few more times to previous co-stars like Lauren Hawley, Renee Zellweger, Ginger Gonzaga, and Jenny McCarthy. But probably the most memorable relationship was with a makeup artist named Kathrona White. The couple dated for 3 years starting in 2012, and though it's a long relationship for him, unfortunately, that came to an end on September 28th, 2015, when she was found dead due to a prescription drug overdose. And though the death was ruled a suicide in 2016, her ex-husband and her mother actually sued Jim Carrey for her wrongful death. They claimed, quote, "He used his immense wealth and celebrity status to illegally obtain and distribute prescription drugs." In 2018, the case was dismissed, but of course, this wasn't a good look for him. And although it wasn't a good look, celebrities continue to back him. So did fans. Big names like Jeff Daniels, Ewan McGregor, Steve Carell, Steven Tyler, and Nicole Kidman, who even said Jim Carrey was her best male friend, showed their support. Other stars have spoken very highly of him. Stars like Ariana Grande, who says he's her idol and even has a Truman Show tattoo on her shoulder. And Jack Nicholson, who says Jim Carrey is the Jack Nicholson of the next generation. He's loved by many because he genuinely likes to make people smile. Actually, it's said that while Tupac was in prison, Jim would write him letters that would make him laugh. And because of this, Tupac said Jim Carrey was his favorite actor. And he shows his genuine nature in other ways too. For example, donating signed headshots to be auctioned off to raise money to donate toys for children in need. And it gets sweeter. It's also said that when he was a child, he would sleep in his tap shoes in case his parents needed cheering up in the middle of the night. Jim Carrey's life may have started off rocky, but if there's one thing we can learn from him, it's that if you don't quit, you can never fail. In 1983, Jim wrote himself a check for $10 million, dated to cash 10 years from then. And in 10 years, he made $10 million for acting. So what did he do with that check? Well, he took it to his father's funeral and placed it in his pocket. This is because his father taught him a very valuable life lesson. And in 2014, during a commencement ceremony for college graduation, he shared that lesson with all of us, and I'll share it with you today. He says, quote, "My father could have been a great comedian, but he didn't believe that that was possible for him. And so he made a conservative choice. Instead, he got a safe job as an accountant. And when I was 12 years old, he was let go from the safe job, and our family had to do whatever we could to survive. I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was this: you can fail at doing what you don't want, so you might as well take a chance on doing what you love." And I will leave you with that. I'll catch you next Wednesday for our Hollywood true crime case, and I'm going to go watch The Truman Show.